If you don't know, pastors have been praying together these past 3 days. We're going to continue to pray the rest of this week. Every day we have set aside a time of prayer, and we're going to continue that into the future until the Lord shows us what we need to do next. But it's been a great time of gathering together with some of the pastors, just a few, and just really seeking God together. It's been encouraging, and of course, along with that, here at Church at Safford, we've been fasting and praying these 3 days. We've called for a three-day fast that began Sunday evening, and we're ending it this evening officially, unless those of you who want to continue or you're well able to do so. But it's been an incredible time of just seeking God together as a family, even though we're not gathered together in the house. It's good to hear of the different people that are joining us in this time of seeking the Lord. And I just want to share one passage of scripture with you that the Lord's put on my heart. It's a familiar passage to all of you, but it's a familiar passage that I think we need to regain in our lives. And there's one phrase in there, or one word really, that spoke out to me that I want to share with you. And it's out of Hosea 10:12, a familiar passage. Like I said, sow to yourselves in righteousness and reap in mercy. Then it says, break up your fallow ground. It says, for it's time to seek the Lord. And I love that. It's time to seek the Lord. But the next word is critical, I believe, for us right now. And it's the word till. He said, it's time to seek the Lord till, or until he comes and rains righteousness on you. We've been in this time of seeking God together as a church family. Pastors are gathering together to pray in this valley. And we're seeking the Lord, but we cannot quit on him. Now's not the time to say, okay, if we've sought him, let's see what he will do. We need to seek him till. We need to seek him until he comes and rains righteousness upon us. And so what he's talking about here are the things, the prerequisites for it. We're to sow for ourselves righteousness. We're to reap in mercy. So we need to focus on righteousness and mercy in this time, in this season. Getting back to the righteousness of God that's in Christ Jesus. Getting back to righteous living that comes from the assistance and aid of the Holy Spirit. Because we know the Word of God says that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Isaiah 64:6 says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade like a leaf. And it says our iniquities, like the wind, carries us away. And so we need to not look at our own righteousness, but we need to focus in on the righteousness that is of God in Christ Jesus. And so we sow to ourselves righteousness. We reap in mercy. We need to be merciful. And then we need to break up our fallow ground, that ground that's been left unseeded, that ground that's been left dormant, that ground that's become hardened and caked because it's been unproductive. And then he says, till he comes and rains righteousness upon us. So I pray that you will take that to heart, because that's been the focus of my heart these last few days. And I just wanted to share that with you, that it's not time to give up. It's not time to say, okay, we've done what we needed to do or what we should do. Now let's wait and see what God does. Let's keep seeking him until we see him move mightily, until we see his hand manifest in glory in our valley, in our own lives, in the churches here in the valley, in this state, and in this nation. Let's seek God until, and I believe we'll know when that until is. I believe it'll be clear to us, because we will see the hand of God moving. So I just want to encourage you with that today, and I pray that it blesses you, and I pray that it also challenges you. There's so many things that are rattling around in my mind that I would just love to share with you, but I've got plenty of time to do that. Tonight we were blessed again to have Pastor Sherman share with you. I'm excited to hear from him again this evening. But let's just open this in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for this evening, and we thank you for allowing us to be together through this medium once again. Father, we thank you that whatever's going on in this world, it should not, it ought not to affect our spiritual condition. We ought to be, Father, dedicated, committed to you every single day, committed to the cause of Christ, committed to the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you that this would not have any impact on us if we're truly seeking you during this season. So, Father, thank you that you're moving in the church right now, that you are stirring things up, you're agitating things. And I thank you for that, Father, because we need seasons of agitation. We need seasons, Father, when you upset us. Seasons, Father, when you disturb what has been laying there in a casual state. Father, in a common state. And so thank you, Lord, for these times of stirrings. Father, we lift all these things to you, and you know what's going on in the state and in the nation. We leave that into your hands. But Father, we want to be those that seek your face. Father, we thank you and praise you for this evening. We ask, God, that you bless Pastor Sherman as he comes and shares the word. We ask you, Father, that word might light into our hearts, that, Father, it might affect change. So, Father, we give you praise for this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor Sherman, come on. Share the word with us.
I'm back here. It's on, man. Well, good evening, folks. It's good to see you. I almost forgot what you look like. This evening, if you have your Bibles with you, I'll be reading from 1 John chapter 4. Father, we thank you for preserving the word up to this time of our lives that we might read it, eat it, be strengthened by it, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, 1 John 4 and 1, the scripture says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God." Now, it seems to me that the church has become kind of laid back concerning this scripture. Not too many people are concerned about evil spirits. That's something that they don't like to really get involved with, because a lot of people have a different idea about these evil spirits. So in spite of it not gaining much attention in the church these days, I think it's a good time for us to maybe hit on a few points. What John said in verse 1. Now, some of us believe that if we're dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about evil spirits. We don't have to worry about them interfering in our lives or influencing us at all. But, you know, when we pay attention to that scripture, it tells us that they're imposters among us. They're evil spirits that are out there, and they are trying to interfere with our lives. And in some cases, they're doing a pretty good job. Now, we don't like to think about demonic influence working to deceive us and mislead us, and certainly we don't like the prospect of being called upon to have to deal with some of these evil spirits or false prophets that have invaded our little circle. We don't like to think about we're going to have to do something about them passing on their disinformation, misinformation, and their lies. And so, consequently, because the church has not paid much attention to what verse 1, 1 John 4 says, he's the beloved, he's talking to us, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. See, when they come and usually they catch their prey at an unsuspecting moment. They come along when we are not capably aware of what they're planning to do to us. They come to gain a following. They come to draw God's people away from congregational worship. When we come together to worship and to hear the word, Satan doesn't like that, and so evil spirits are out there, and false prophets are coming along with a false message, trying to get us to move in another direction. They come as friends of God. That's one of their, the things that they can do good, is pass themselves off as a friend of God. They pose as prophets, they pose as teachers, and they give out words of knowledge to get us to open up to their message. Now, the little truth is that these false prophets, these evil spirits, are agents of the devil. They're conspiring against the church and her message. Satan is constantly updating his methods and schemes, coming at us many different ways to deceive and control. His intent is to weaken the power of the church and reduce the number of committed members in the body of Christ. The devil thought he had conquered our king when Calvary claimed the body of Christ. But Satan didn't have very long to celebrate, because in 3 days, resurrection power burst out in the tomb. The devil's dance stopped, the stone door rolled aside, and Jesus stepped out alive. And in my mind, I pictured Jesus stepping out. I could see the broadest smile across his face as he stepped out to claim his victory over sin, death, and the grave. So, our Lord, he can smile. Now, at the cross, Jesus' victory became ours, because he revoked the law and its eternal lethal judgment against us. Over in Colossians 2:14, the word says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, Satan's destiny is sealed, but for now, the Lord has permitted him to rule and reign while his evil spirits are on assignment from him to go out and do his mind-blinding deception. Now, this is one of the things that Satan is very capable of, is passing on to us some message that gets us to thinking differently, and it blinds our minds to the truth. And we need to put on some heavy-duty eyeglasses spiritually, because we need to recognize when this is happening, when Satan is coming around to do his dirty work. When Jesus said it was finished, he included the devil. And the devil one day will be forever banished into the lake of fire, that eternal place that it's the lake of fire. We call it hell, but it's the lake of fire. And let me remind you some good news, that it's for every heaven-birthed believer. Jesus has given us authority to overcome the devil's assaults. Amen. And by the power of his word, we're able to exercise that authority. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, if we're going to defeat Satan, we've got to use the word of God. The word says submit to God and resist the devil. And so in a submission, an honest heart, submission to God, there will automatically be a resistance to the evil spirits that are sent on assignment to bring us trouble. Now, if we're going to use the Word of God, we need to first wholly believe the Word of God, not just little portions of it or this and set this aside. And many people are doing that. They jump on one part of the Word and then they pass by or shove aside the other part of the Word. All the Word of God is very important, and we need to know it. And we need to spend some time in getting acquainted with some of the Word that we've not been, fellowshipping with. Now, he said in verse 1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit." And I have noticed that in the, I guess you'd call it Pentecostal, charismatic group, somebody comes along with a new sounding word, they jump on the bandwagon. They're right there. They think, this is it. And they find themselves in trouble later on. But he said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, the word many means more than one, does it not? Probably more than we can count, more than we really know about. False prophets are out there, and false prophets probably have rubbed elbows with some of us. So many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know you, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. We must believe and we must act on God's word. And if you got a little bit of word, you'll only do a little bit of acting on that word. But you got more of the word, you can do more acting. You can do more work to get these false prophets defeated. I mean, when we say believe, I mean really, really believe. And I think sometimes, and it may be that this is a moment in time for all of us to confess that sometimes we don't really, really believe. We hear it, but we don't really believe. And especially do we not really believe that there are ungodly spirits in this life who are out to influence men to preach doctrines of demons. Now, there's a domain of darkness out there out of which come these messengers, these masquerading messengers of light. They come to capture the minds of men and to motivate them to preach and to teach false doctrines, and all of their doctrines are antichrist. He that confesses that Christ has come in the flesh is of God. John urges you and me to be aware of this fact. These are carriers of a demonic virus, and they're sent out to distort and destroy the truth of Christ's holy word. Satan wants to enslave the human spirit. He wants to cause it to ignore and deny the glorious gospel of the living Christ. Paul gives us a fair description of these apostles, these deceitful workers. He says in 2 Corinthians 11 and 13, "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." And then he says in another place in 2 Corinthians, "But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost." Right? It's hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of them which believe not. lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in. Christ, the image of God, shining in and out of his church. As children of the Holy God, we have been delivered from the spirit of this world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, I tell you, it's free. You don't have to buy it. It's free. And it's freely given to all of us. The spirit of this world controls the system of lies and deception, which seeks to rule over all social strata, all over the world. His demon power, his evil spirits, his emissaries of hate are busy everywhere at this very moment. And don't be surprised if you don't feel something entertaining, trying to entertain your thoughts in a different direction from this message right now. Well, these spirits are here, distorting and destroying the truth of Christ's holy word for some people. But what are we going to do about these spiritual insects that are gnawing at God's word like termites after wood? What are we going to do with these evil spirits that are chewing at the gospel truth, trying to diminish and devalue the importance of the gospel? See, these false prophets come and they sometimes pose as experts in defining the original intent of Holy Spirit-inspired Scripture. How many times have you heard somebody come along and you've lined up with this particular verse and somebody come along and try to tell you that's not what it says? Could that be an evil spirit? Could that be a mind-blinding demon that's come to work on you? What do we do? Exactly what John says. Try the spirits. Test them. Check out their opinions of Christ. Find out what they think of Jesus. Jesus faced the Pharisees one time, and he dealt with the same problem, and he asked them a question in Matthew 22:42, saying, "What think ye of Christ?" That might be a good question to ask ourselves. What do I really think of Christ? He said, "What think you of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He said unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, and I make until I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son?" He asked the question to expose their error or ignorance of spiritual prophecies. And it also was asked to put that error up in the light of God's truth, of true doctrine, not false doctrine that comes by false prophets. Pharisees agreed with Jesus that he was a descendant of King David, but only by physical lineage. They didn't believe that he was God incarnate. And that denial placed them in the group of Antichrist. Anyone who does not believe that Jesus is the full expression of God is Antichrist. And anyone who claims to know God and does not believe in Jesus is an imposter. For it's only through Jesus that man can come to God. Every one of us, born-again believers, should have a healthy skepticism of any new teaching that will come into the church. We need to examine it. We need to be like the noble Bereans who got into the Word and read the word to see if the new word they heard was really true. And you and I need, that's our responsibility. We are protectors of the truth of God. And we can't let some false messenger, some evil spirit, some false prophet come in and try to take our true belief and supplant it with some of his ideas. So if we're going to deal with evil spirits, we must know the word. And secondly, we need to be very confident of who we are. Do you know who you are? Do I know who I am? See, there are requirements for our knowing the Spirit of God. And we see this in the second verse where John says, "Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. You're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Now, I was reading after one man, and he said a stronger word for confession is covenant. And so if we confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, then we're brought into covenant. That confession is a covenant with our Lord and Savior Jesus. And see, our confidence must be alive. It must be a strong and growing in whom God says that we are. We are in covenant with Jesus, and bless him, he lives in us. Hebrews 3:6, "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Now let's talk about confidence just a little bit here. In the Greek, confidence is parohesia, and that is defined to me outspoken, not keep silent our confidence, but we're to let people know who we're confident in and how we're confident of what we are in him. It also indicates a public announcement, one that's given frankly, clearly, sometimes bluntly, but always with humility. That's confidence we want to share with the world. And our confidence will honor our Lord by bold outspeaking as who we are in him. "Whosoever confesseth me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven." Now, partakers of Christ are joined in covenant with him. By answering the Holy Spirit's call, our confidence was birthed. Jesus Christ took us into covenant with him. Now, there are sometimes errors in how that we get born again, or how we get saved, rather, and sealed. See, we're not sealed in covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ by ancestral privilege, not by an act or decree, by church authority, not just by our intellectual assent, not by our own self-reformations. You see, mom and dad's faith can't get us saved. It can't do the new birth work in us. Can't get us eternal life. The church cannot decree or confer eternal life on us. Changing our minds to follow biblical precepts will not alone bring us eternal life. Dedicated self-reformation, changing our lifestyles from bad to good, will not bring us eternal life. We can only get sealed in covenant with Jesus by the will and call of God. See, this call, when it was answered, brings us to honest and sincere confession of sin and total self-giving to Christ according to his word. When we totally yield to his omnipotent gospel, then we can understand what God wants us to be. When we come to the point of no shame of the gospel, then we can fully accept the word as absolute, undying truth. And we can truthfully and wholeheartedly agree with Paul when he expressed his bold confession, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now in the world, there are two classes of people, the haves and the have-nots. Now the haves have been to Calvary, and they've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The others have not. The haves confessed their sins, repented, and called upon Jesus for forgiveness. The others have not. The haves are confident of their new birth and their new life in the Holy Spirit. The have-nots have no such confidence. Well, let me ask you a question. Which of these two classes need to hear the Word of God? Both. The lost need to hear the gospel so they can be saved. And Paul posed the question, how can they believe except to hear? And so believers need to hear the gospel, the truth of God, in order to grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, the Word of God is the premier message to the world. Christ in us, the hope of glory, is our premier picture to the world. Our exhibition, our proclamation of God's love shows others that love is reaching out. It shows that one day he poured his love upon us when we had no love for him. And we can't adequately explain and define this mysterious love of God. But I tell you one thing, when we supernaturally experience this, his love becomes a glorious reality. I want to tell you something, it's wonderfully felt and enjoyed. So we're blessed to know that our Lord has covered our past and sealed our future. We've heard John speak to us already in verse 1. In substance, he told us that Satan is real. He's committed to turn the have-nots away from Christ's saving truth. And he's committed to trick the haves into peddling a different gospel than the one that Jesus commissioned us to preach to the world. If these folks, well, wait a minute, I've skipped a page. It's very important I get all these pages. And so we need to understand that Satan's scheme, if he can't get us to turn completely away from the Word of God, then he wants to trick us into buying down a watered version of the Word of God. And he comes along and he begins his deceitful preaching. And he said, you don't have to worry about doing without things. Go ahead and chase after the world. It'll enrich you. It'll give you pleasure. And don't worry about so much about the natural lust of the flesh. That's just normal with everybody. And don't take too literally what the Word says about obedience. God will overlook our weaknesses. You know why? Because he wants us to be happy. Satan is constantly sending out his demon force to harass and sidetrack God's people. And when he does, we must be conscious that there resides a power in us greater than any force anywhere in the universe. And we must emphasize gospel truth. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We must tell people anywhere and everywhere what our God is about in this world today. 2 Corinthians 5:19 says, to wit, the God that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, our pastor has been teaching us and encouraging us to use our time at home developing a richer relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to seize this stay-at-home opportunity to pray and read and study more of God's Word, to strengthen our confidence and faith, to call upon the Holy Spirit to develop in us a more defined Christ-like disposition to show when we walk out into free social mixing again. Many of us are in total agreement with the urging and encouragement of our pastor. And we're praying and believing with him that we will be spiritually and morally stronger when the whole body gets to come together again. But I'm telling you something, and we need to understand it. Satan and his demons are already working hard to see that this effort fails. Already warnings are being given by social researchers indicating secularly how the devil's at work in the homes where people are being isolated. They say more alcoholism may be acutely displayed after stay-at-home order is lifted. Public social drinking has diminished, but in-home drinking has increased. More idle time in the home, more time to load up on beer and wine and whiskey. In Pennsylvania, the curb sale the curbside sale of alcohol is booming right now. And I saw this, a 93-year-old grandmother posted on the internet, I need beer. When in a short time, a truckload of Coors Light was dumped on her doorstep. I heard a great lady of faith one time. We were talking about churchgoers drinking, and she said, these churchgoers that drink are sipping saints. They're not hard drinkers or alcoholics, but they do imbibe in liquor quite often. Well, these sippers, with so much time at home, are in danger of being tempted by whom? To take in more alcohol. You can go a little further and you can handle it. And so they get to the point and they cross a line from just a little bit of drinking to heavier drinking or maybe even alcoholic addiction. And who will be there with them? Saying, that's okay. Have another. It'll be those evil spirits that have been assigned to break down the benefits that we have in staying home. Let me ask you, how about all the folks given to drugs? Who's their visitors right now? How about the porno watchers, the X-rated videos? How about pedophiles? How many evil spirits are there with them as they engage in these things they like to do? And when it's over, when they merge back into society, will they be better or will they be worse? Of course, we know the answer to that. If these folks mix back into free social activity in a worse state than when they were first isolated, what kind of influence will that be upon our neighborhoods and our communities? And this is the question that comes up after that. Will there be any redemptive force standing to greet that multitude of sinners when they come mixing back into society? And Who will they be? Who'll do the best job of redeeming these captives of the devil? Can local government get it done? Can state government get it done? Can federal government get it done? Can community services, safe houses, rehabs? Will any of these be qualified to step up and focus the light of deliverance into these devil-blinded minds? Well, I don't think they can do it. But I tell you, I believe there's a force that can get it done. It's none other than the precious, revived, redeemed Church of the Living Christ. We'll get it done. Now, there's been predicted by legitimate prophets, and of course, false prophets are illegitimate, are they not? But there are some true prophets. And it's been predicted by them that a powerful release of Holy Ghost energy is about to happen. It's about to come now, in our day maybe. This could be the time for that glorious event. What will it be like when we come in here walking on air, shouting hallelujah? Oh, it'll be a great day, won't it? It could happen in the midst of these days of infections, quarantines, death, economic failings. Yeah, I want it to happen now. And that's what we're trying to prepare for a welcoming in of this great and wonderful move of Holy Ghost energy. I want to just maybe pray a little bit here. If you want to follow me, you can. But Lord Jesus, we're lining up with our pastors. We've agreed to follow them in confessing our sins, and we repent of disobedience and offenses against our precious Holy Spirit. And we'll honor him. We'll not lie to the Holy Ghost. We'll not make jokes about him. We'll not grieve the Holy Ghost by whom we are sealed into the day of redemption. We're going to intercede for our friends, and we're already doing that. And our nation, family, in fact, as we're instructed in the Bible, we are to pray and intercede and supplicate for all men. And this is the time that we need to be busy about doing that very thing. And Father, we ask you to receive us again in renewal of our commitment to thee. Revive us again, together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood by which we stand justified. We commit to listen to your voice. Whatever you command, we will obey. Now, I'd just like to say something. Might be a little add-on. Our Lord has given to each of us a light to follow, a personal lane of travel. And we must stay within the markers of our lane, not veer off into somebody else's lane. Now, this can happen when we start to compare ourselves with somebody else, or them with ourselves, or them with somebody else. When we may wish that we were like them, or they were like us, we must dedicate our running to our own lane. Whatever our state may be, whatever burden we carry, our ability we have, keep running in your lane, in my lane. Embrace whatever shows up in your lanes. And there are going to be things showing up in our lanes, but we're not to jump out of our lanes and try to get around it. Just hit it head on and embrace it. We've got to keep moving forward in our lighted pathway. Throw away any yardstick that you might have of comparison of somebody else. right? Bless the name of the Lord. Precious is his holy name. Amen.
Boy, that was rich. That was absolutely rich, necessary. I believe it's timely. I believe it's for this season. And so I'm excited about that word, and that's a word you're going to be able to listen to over and over. But we need to grasp that. We need to grasp this word and take it to our hearts, and let's be true to the word of God. Let's be true to his word and nothing else. It's so important. So thank you so much for that word. I pray you were blessed with this. I pray that God challenged you with it. I believe it spoke to things that are even in process right now. So the Lord bless you today. I pray that God would so let this sink down into your hearts. Father, thank you for this word that we received. Help us, Father, to have discernment. Father, in these days, it's so critical and so important, Father, just as the word says, that we're not to just believe every spirit, but they're to be tested. They're to be examined. Father, help us to have that examining heart, that examining spirit, that we would not believe every spirit, but Father, we would stay true to your word, that you would bring exposure to the false. You would bring exposure, God, to those who would want to sneak in, who would want to move in and take captive people for their own agendas. Father, we want to stay true to your agenda. We want to stay true to your word. We want to stay true to you. And Father, we ask you to help us to sensitize ourselves once again from the things that we have desensitized ourselves to. Father, forgive us for becoming too comfortable with things. Forgive us, Father, for being too accepting of things. Father, would you resensitize us that we might be sensitive to you, to your Holy Spirit, and to your word, examining all things. Father, we honor you and praise you tonight. We thank you for the word in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Lord bless you. You have a great evening tonight in Jesus' name. Again, we say thank you for the days that you spent with us in prayer and fasting and agreeing with us as pastors as we meet. We ask you to continue praying for us as pastors as we continue to just seek God for this valley and for what he desires of the body of Christ in total, not just our individual fellowships, but what he wants for the body of Christ here in this valley. So continue to pray for us. Continue to seek the Lord until, don't forget that word, until he wants us to be steadfast in seeking after him. So God bless you. Have a great night in Jesus' name.